We've been talking about grace for today. How the God that is so merciful and has been so merciful is still merciful to us today. And how if we will just open our eyes and look, we can see His grace so abundant and so abounding. Especially when you understand that the grace of God has always been planned. That the grace of God that was demonstrated at the cross was planned before Adam and Eve were ever created. God had a plan. God had a plan for you and for me when we've chosen to go astray, to welcome us back, to forgive us, and to restore us. Some of us have family members that we would like to see come back to Christ or find their way to Him for the first time. We have a merciful God. Our focus today is Amazing Grace. I believe there's a song by that name. If I was an unkind person, I'd sing it for you right now. But you might throw something at me and you might choose to hurt me. From the age of 11, John Newton served aboard a sailing vessel. It is said that he was as vulgar and as vain and hostile as any man could be. That he could put to shame sometimes some sailors with his vocabulary. But before he left off to serve on a sailing ship, his mother, a godly woman, raised him in Sunday school and taught him scriptures and great songs of faith that would one day come back and begin to move his heart back toward God. He served above vessels that took slaves from Africa to the United States. He was harsh. He was a taskmaster. And then one day in a storm that had been going for 11 days at the helm of the ship, he began to think about some of those verses and some of those songs he learned as a child. And God began to move his heart. At the age of 39, he repented and was ordained as a preacher. Oftentimes on Sundays, he would bring forth a poem he had written and shared it with the congregation if someone had put music to it. And it was in that habit of his that we have our hymn, Amazing Grace. When he was finally transferred and served in a parish in London, he teamed with Wilberforce in fighting for the abolishment of slavery. His life was changed because of grace, amazing grace. And our lives too can be changed by grace, amazing grace. Today, we go back and focus on the story of amazing grace. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, beginning in verse 11. Would you follow along in the scriptures with me if you've got your Bibles? Jesus continued, there was a man that had two sons, and the younger one said to his father, Father, give me the share of my estate. So the father divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son gathered all he had and set off for a distant country where he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there arose a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself to a citizen of that country who sent him to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion, and ran to him, threw his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to the servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this that my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." Father, today I would ask that you would open our hearts that we could better understand your heart, that we might better understand you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. We can sing about amazing grace because we have an amazing God. The story that Jesus tells of the prodigal son or the lost son is a story where he's trying to help us understand what the Father is really like, how much the Father longs to be reconciled to us. It is a beautiful story. And it is our story if we know the Lord and we know His grace. I want to take four simple things taken from the story to help you better understand the God that created you, the God that longs to be vital in your life, the God that wants to be the most important one in your life. Here's the first point, very simple. He lets us choose. Now, I came across something I had never noticed before. Verse 12 says, after the younger son demanded his portion, so he distributed his assets to them. Prior to this, I always thought he just gave the inheritance to the younger son. But according to the way Jesus described the story, he also gave the inheritance to the older son. He divided it among them. Both of them had a choice to make. Obviously, the younger son decided that he knew what would be best and what would be fun. He chose immediate gratification. Let's go party. Go to a distant town and I'm going to have fun. The older son that we don't even hardly hear about to the end of the story chose instead to stay with his father and let his father continue to control the estate. We have a choice in life, friends. We can choose to live life our way without God, or we can choose to live our life with God. It is simply that. It is a choice. The two brothers had a choice. We could serve our father, or we can demand our way. The youngest son demanded his way. Heard somebody years ago talking about our God, saying it's not a very merciful God that would punish someone in eternity because of choices. But it's not God's choice, it's our choice. If we walk with him here, we walk with him throughout eternity. I was in college. I did not know Christ. In college, I chose to become a follower. I had come up in Sunday school some as a kid, but I definitely never made a decision for Christ. But in college, I made a choice. I'm going to choose to follow Christ. I just wonder, are there any other people here who you made that decision in college or as a young adult? Would you slip your hand up? Connie? Gina? Okay, 3, 4, 5, or 6. You made the choice as a young adult. Great. Okay, how many made that choice to follow Christ as a teenager? Oh, I tell you, the teens' hearts are open. How about as a child? Children especially have an open heart. Now, how many of you made that choice to follow Christ as a mature? That's okay. As a mature adult, would you? One, two, about 8 or 10 here. Okay, thank you. But you understand, it's all about a choice. We don't gradually become a Christian. We make a choice. God allows us to make that choice. Now, he is all-powerful. He could make us bow down and worship him. But that brings him no satisfaction. You know what God wants from you? I'll tell you. He wants you to love him as much as he loves you. Now, that's not real complicated, is it? He wants you to love him as much as he loves you. And that is a choice that you make in this life. Am I going to choose to love God? Because when you love God, you're going to listen to him. When you love God and he gives you instructions and directions to help you, you're going to listen to him because he knows what's best. So that first point is a simple point. We choose to follow Christ. Or we can choose not to follow Christ. John puts it this way: he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. We choose. Number two, God waits patiently. Not many days later, the younger son gathered together all that he had, traveled to a distant country where he squandered his estate in foolish living. Now we know what the boys were doing. That's obvious. The older son stayed, continued to work in the fields and help the father. The younger son decided he knew what was best. He had heard from some friends he had met about some exciting things that were happening in the big city. And you know, there are exciting things happening in the big city. But those exciting things are only for a season. Instant gratification never lasts. Never lasts. We know what the sons were doing. What was the father doing? He was waiting patiently. Because that's all he could do. I'm sure, like fathers today, he prayed. He prayed that God would watch over his son while he was away, keep him from undue harm, maybe bring somebody into his life that could speak into his life. But the Father waits patiently. What does our Heavenly Father do when we are away from him? Jesus tells you in the parable. He waits patiently. He waits. He waits for us to make a decision. Because decisions determine our peace here and our happiness in the future. Patiently. He waits. He could have traveled to the far country. He could have tried to force his son to come back, but he knew better. He waits. Never demands. Most of us, I know I have, and I bet you, I have never heard God raise his voice and call me. Never. But I have heard what John Wesley called the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit that calls to you during the quiet times. That, according to John Newton, spoke to him in the storm. That maybe when you come to church sometimes and you're planning your activities after, but maybe a song that is sung or something in the sermon is spoken, and the Lord uses it to speak to you, to speak to your heart, and to begin to draw you. God waits patiently. Now there's a poem out, I wish I'd thought to have a portion of it with you today, called The Hound of Heaven, where it talks about how God pursues us through the Spirit. John Newton knew about it. You see, as a young boy, his mom had prayed with him. His mom had taken him, and he had been taught the Bible and taught some of the hymns of faith, in particular by Isaac Watts. He knew these songs, and you know, he learned them as a child, and songs you learn as a child, while you may not be singing them today, they stick with you. When he was standing at the helm of the ship and this ship was breaking apart, the sailors thought that the end is near, but while he's there, he says he begins to think about the verses he learned and the songs, and God began to use to draw. Have you ever noticed how sometimes you may come in, you turn on the television, and it's on that preaching channel, you wonder how it got there. You didn't put it there, but something the preacher said just that quick. Or maybe you were searching for channels on the radio and all of a sudden someone says something, you're like, whoa. God speaks. But God waits patiently. God waits patiently. He loves you too much to force himself on you. He loves you too much to force you to love him. He allows us to experience failure that we might in failure stop and look to him. God loves us in our mess. He loves us in the mess we've created, by the way. And if in that mess we come to him, he loves us too much to leave us that way. And that's where his grace begins to abound in our life. See, we serve a great God. He waits patiently. Every Sunday, maybe he's calling you. Maybe he's speaking to you. Hoping that today might be the day that you choose him over self. And by the way, that is the basic decision. Am I going to choose God or am I going to choose me? The lost son chose himself. But when he comes to insists, he's going to choose the Father. Number three, we can sing Amazing Grace because he cares. The son has come to his senses. He's tired of longing to eat pig food. Can I ask y'all this? This is an off subject, but I saw this the other day. It said boys coming up have this idea that they should try to eat animal food. Did anybody here ever try to eat dog food? Okay. A number of you did. Okay. I never ate the dog food, but those, the biscuits that you buy for the dogs aren't that bad. They're really not. But I don't think this pig food looked at all appetizing. And here's what happened. The lost son hit rock bottom. Smack, dab, bottom. Flat broke. Has nothing. Matter of fact, he probably pawned his family ring because he did not have one. Lost all of his good clothing. Had basically nothing. Didn't have any shoes on his feet. But when he's at rock bottom, he says to himself, I want to paraphrase this, you idiot. Don't you think he thought that? I think he thought it. What are you doing here? Your father has servants that have a bed to sleep on, shoes on their feet, and they got food to fill their stomach. But he knew, and this is the key, people, he knew he had done wrong. He knew he had sinned. He says, this will I do. I will go back and I will say to my father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as a hired servant. So he begins his quest home. And if you'll remember, the Bible had told us it was a distant country. He didn't just walk down the street. He traveled for days, maybe trying to pick up something along the way to eat, always rehearsing in his mind what he's going to say when he gets home, what he's going to say. But a distance off, the father saw him. And you know why the father saw him. The father was looking for him. The father knew what was going to happen to him. The father had made preparation, I believe, for when he returned. Because I think, although the Bible doesn't tell us this, that when the son left, I think the father told him, son, I'll always be here for you. If he didn't have a chance to tell him, the son knew. So while he is yet a great distance off, the father sees him. Did it look like his son? No, he had lost weight. He was filthy. But you can watch somebody walk and figure out who they are. Ginger told me one time, I walk like my father. Most of us walk like our parents, so he probably walked like his dad. But the father saw him, and when the father saw him, he ran to him. Why? Because he cared. Our God is not a God that is untouched by our problems or our fears or our storms. He cares. Oh, He cares. He longingly cares for us. I believe the Father was planning and preparing. If you know the Scripture, when He embraces His Son and throws his arms around him and kisses him, he tells the servants, bring the nice robe, bring the ring, bring the sandals, because I think he had them set out. I think he had the calf set up for the return. I think he was prepared. What scared the son was that he knew he had done wrong. He knew that what he had done had hurt his father. and hurt his brother. Let me share a verse. This is from Psalms 103. He has made known to us the ways of Moses and the deeds of Israel. And the Lord God is compassionate. This is your God. The Lord God is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. I love this. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Did you hear that? He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, as far as he removed, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. Now, did you notice he said east and west, not north and south? Because if you go north, you bump into the North Pole. You go south, you bump into the South Pole. But you go east and west, it's infinity. There's also a passage that says, he cast our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. The young boy knew he had done wrong. His guilt was heavy on his heart, but his father had forgiven him. His father was about to restore him. Now, some of you can sit here today, and I can tell you that God forgives your sins. But then the devil comes up and says, but not that sin of yours. Even God can't forgive that one. You've been so bad. But I'm here to tell you that's a lie. God forgives every sin. But God can do something you can't. God can forget the sin. You can't. God can, by just a decree and a decision, remember it no more. The slate is washed clean. God cares. The Father cared when the Son came back. The Father saw him because the Father never quit loving him. I love that passage where Jesus goes back to the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus following the death of Lazarus. And the sisters are brokenhearted, weeping because their brother is dead. Now Jesus knows he's about to raise him from the dead. But the broken hearts of Mary and Martha broke his heart. And we find the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Oh, how he cares. How he cares for us. Number four, he forgives and restores. Quick. And I assume, if you can picture this, the father is working outside as some servants are there, and the father sees the son coming. And I think the father probably hollered at some of the servants and said, my son, and off he goes. With the servants right behind him. He says, quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, then bring the fatted calf. This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. And the word tells us there is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner like the lost son that repents and comes back. The father's prayers have been answered. He forgave. He restores. Let me ask this then. If you don't want to tell us, that's okay. How many of you were that prodigal? How many of you were that lost son that had to come back? Amen. Amen. Now I'm going to ask you another question. Hadn't planned to do this, but I'm going to. How many of you have a prodigal that you're praying for? Amen. Amen. I told you the story of John Newton. He preached for 43 years. Let me give you a quote of his. He said, I'm an old man now. He said, and my memory is nearly gone. Amen? I'm an old man now. My memory is nearly gone. But I can remember two things, he said, that I am a great sinner and that Christ is a great Savior. Wow. If you're going to remember two things, what better two things to remember? I am a great sinner and Christ is a great Savior. I'm going to show our, as we've done the last three, today will be four, we're going to look at a music video of When I Saw God Run. This one's a little bit different. But first, I want us to pray. I want us to pray for the prodigals that are in our families and that are our friends. Father God, as we gather together today, Lord, most of us, Lord, have experienced your grace. We have experienced your mercy. And we can sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, because that was us. But Father, we pray for our children, our sibling, maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a friend who is away from you and their choices have moved them away from you, Lord. We lift them up, Lord. We pray for them. Father, finger around their hearts. Send someone to speak into their life, Lord, that they might see and sense the grace of God. And if you're here today and you've never known the mercy of God, never known the grace of God, all you've got to do is cry out, Father, forgive me. I have sinned. And he will run to you. And he will embrace you. And he will restore you. He will make you his child. He will begin to change you into that beautiful person he created you to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. While he was yet a great way off, the father saw him and the father ran to him. But before that, the father prayed and the father planned. We serve a gracious God who still delivers. If you wouldn't mind, bow your hearts with me one more time. If you're here today and you feel like you need to come to an altar to pray, our altars are open. But there where you are, you can yield your heart to the Lord. Do you need to come pray? Just something says, I need to get up, go pray. I need to yield before the Lord and confess. Are there others? We're going to pray here in just a moment. You can pray at your seat, but there's something about getting up and taking that walk. So directs our heart and get God's attention. If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm away from God. And I want to be back. Pray for me. I'm not going to embarrass you. Just slip your hand up right back down. I'll pray for you. That'll be it. Are there others? God bless you. Are there others? Pastor, I'm away right now. I'm away. Let's pray. Father, we pray for that lost son, that lost daughter that is away from you today. That has fallen into the snare of pleasure, thinking it would satisfy only to find out that it was elusive. And they're now caught in a snare. We pray for them, Lord, that they might see your love and your mercy and your grace. We'll pray for that one, Father, who is being tempted to choose self over God, pleasure over serving, the temporary over the permanent. Father, we pray. Have your way, Lord. And now, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that the prayers that we have offered would be answered. We pray, Father, that your will would be done and that all things would be done according to your pleasure, Lord. For it's in your Son's name that we ask it. Amen and amen.